Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Black Widow feedback. It's time to talk about it and all the things that you have to say and the things that we have to say about what you say. You know how that intro goes. Anyway, all that and more of that, we have no control over her.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair, in our producer chair, we have Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Just loving life. Like,
we're getting Loki content galore.
Last week was what we said. It was the busiest week of the podcast ever.
Right.
And this week we're just like living in the glow of all this new content, all the theories that people are kicking out.
And living in the piles of hundreds upon hundreds of emails.
Yes. Yeah. We got that good Svathlafari afterglow about us. If you don't know what that is, check out Legends and Libations on Twitch.
Is that one gone?
Episode one? No, that's still there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be gone in 2 weeks, but sticking around for some reason.
Ah.
I guess it's 60 days? No, I don't know.
I don't know.
So, anyway.
But yeah, Stranded Panda TV on Twitch, like they're doing Legends and Libations now. And every other Thursday, right?
Every other Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next one we're going to be talking about Arthurian legends, because the very next day the movie Green Knight comes out.
Nice.
Yeah, so we get to talk about Gawain and his fun time.
Nice. All right, well, we're going to dive right in. Let's just get through as much of this Black Widow feedback as we can. Talk about Black Widow.
Black Widow feedback. Kenneth Kaz sent us an email. Says, me listening to y'all's latest podcast while I'm at work is just me milking cows and yelling at what seems like nothing that Clinton Barton doesn't deserve forgiveness.
Probably my favorite feedback.
Poor Clint Barton.
That's really funny.
He's yelling at cows.
Just milking cows and yelling
screaming at the cow.
See, he's a damn idiot. No. You get me.
Yeah, you get
Clint,
it.
Why doesn't Clint deserve forgiveness? I feel like Clint deserves forgiveness.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they think that because he went on a crazy murder spree.
Yeah, I don't forgive him for his record deal.
See, I didn't know any of those people that he killed. It's fine.
All right.
They seem like bad guys, right?
Yeah, totally.
Probably.
I mean, all we really saw him murdering was Yakuza guys.
Well, and we got told he like murdered a bunch of cartel guys at the border, and
yeah,
like he's out killing bad guys.
He's doing the Lord's work.
I'm totally cool with that part of him.
As a Punisher situation, it's fine.
Yeah. I think the real problem here is that he let Nat throw herself to her own death.
No, he tried to steal that from her. He tried to steal her moment. Don't get me started.
He did. You know, it just shows that she's that much better than him. Like, she defeated him in that moment.
Yeah.
She won.
Ouch.
Yeah.
She won.
I still have problems. I'm like, how come you couldn't just use both hands? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
With your Batman. Anyway.
Anyway.
Don't get sidetracked.
It's so funny to watch Ashley just, like, wrestle with herself.
I'm like,
calm, collected. Abby Wilkieson is an email. Hi guys, first time writing in here, but I thought you'd appreciate some of this intel. word choice intended, relating to Black Widow. I wanted to try and get it in before your second cast on Black Widow. As a bit of background, I came into the MCU through my now partner, and Natasha was my favorite character in my introduction to Avengers. I have become a cosplayer through her. I've progressed in writing and art stuff, both that I do for fun, through fan art and fanfic writing. I even started learning a few words in Russian for cosplay, which led me to remember how much I love learning languages, and now I'm officially learning Russian. This film was the biggest fan event of my life. I was really disappointed that no cinemas near me in the UK did midnight releases, but I saw the film with my partner at the first showing. I loved the film. I was nervous about it. I was scared that they wouldn't do right by my girl. But it was great. I'm so glad it was pretty solid. Only really the villain and the height of the action let it down. And I mean the storytelling and the height of the action, not everything else. Personally, this doesn't matter to me. They did right by this amazing character and dealt with so many important themes, which I loved. They did the best they could with the rating, too. Some things are just too dark for a young audience, but they hinted at a lot. I've added the link here to a Google Doc, which contains a lot of my more detailed breakdown of Easter eggs and symbology I saw in the film. I didn't want to flood the feedback with all of them, but you'll be able to access this doc, and I'm also happy for you to share the link to the other pandas so that they can read them, too. Thanks so much for this podcast. I have followed for a while, but I really felt the love since WandaVision. I've seen a bunch of MCU podcasts go bad from being critical to the point the hosts and listeners don't feel positive about the film or show. You guys hold on to the positives while being constructive, and I'm really grateful for this and you. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.
Super sweet. We're happy to have you. Happy to have you in the panda community. And another UK panda too.
Oh, I gotta do the whole email over again with the correct accent.
An Australian?
Yeah. No, Scottish, obviously.
Yeah.
Or Russian, since she's now officially learning Russian. I love that something that is, you know, in our collective fandom has inspired somebody to do something like learning another language.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool to me, how people are inspired to do these great things like this. You know, like, you're changing your life. You're opening up a lot of avenues that, you know, may not have been there before with getting to learn another language and be able to communicate with other people that you wouldn't have been able to communicate with before. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And all because Black Widow was your favorite. Like, come on.
I am really glad to hear Abby talk how much she likes this movie because, you know, I had my issues with it and I liked it, but I had my issues with it. But like, I just love that a person who feels so connected to this character feels that this fulfilled what they wanted. And that's awesome. That's awesome to hear.
It is. It is. Jordan Tapkin sent us an email. Hey, Matt, Jeff, and Ashley, this is my first time leaving feedback after listening to your show since about Captain Marvel. You folks do such an amazing job with making this podcast. Anyways, I just wanted to point out Marvel's lack of attention to detail in Black Widow. After Black Widow and her family get to Cuba, Yelena is holding a Princess Twilight sparkle stuffed animal from My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, which doesn't sound weird, except for the fact that her stuffed animal shouldn't exist at all during this time. Although My Little Pony existed back then, the doll itself shouldn't exist. Possible future plot line, probably not, but just wanted to let you know. Sorry for making this so long. Keep up the great work. Love you guys 3000 and Excelsior.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. I can tell you're a brony. I dig it.
Yeah, we don't kink shame around here, Ashley.
Like, that wasn't Mrs. Diamonds. That was Mrs. Sparkle Pants from... I'm sorry, it was so funny.
Ashley's really enjoying the My Little Pony specific feedback.
I mean, some people...
Specific, that doll came out in... I can't...
Some people
I'm not making fun of you, Jordan, I'm sorry.
Some people focus on hair. Some people focus on toys. Some people focus on stuffed animals.
Maybe he's an avid collector. You know, I'm not calling him a brony.
I didn't say Brony with any shame.
No,
people like that show. Proud. Apparently that like more recent version of
My Little Pony
that was out a few years. I don't know. It's probably been a decade now. But like a bunch of people got really into it. Like they thought they were doing a really like I guess they were writing the show and putting a lot in there that was like for adults or whatever.
Yeah,
and a lot of people got really into it.
That's awesome. So like I love
doesn't
them.
Surprise me. There's a lot of Bronies out there.
It's funny.
That's super rad. It's interesting because we had this discussion with WandaVision too, with like the Malcolm in the Middle.
That particular DVD not coming out in the mid-90s.
Yeah, exactly. And if it had come out, even DVDs, just like there weren't DVD sets back then. That was just like not a thing that existed.
Right.
So like all that stuff was really kind of anachronistic. And now that the multiverse is opening, it's got me wondering like maybe it was on purpose, right?
What if it's a remnant of a timeline crossing type thing?
Yeah, maybe Yelena was part of the multiverse war.
And that's what she kept.
Is her My Little Pony?
She's a kid. She kept her My Little Pony, of course.
Of course she would. Maybe.
Twilight Sparkle.
Twilight Sparkle.
It's a good name.
Steve Rogers gave it to her.
Aw, there we go.
He would go get a Twilight Sparkle.
He would.
He would also totally visit a young Nat and give a toy to her sister.
Heard your growing up was a little rough. Can't get involved or help you, but here's a pony.
Yeah, that's not to help you through those tough times. Yeah. Screw taking me out of the situation that involves me being human trafficked across the globe.
Yeah.
Thanks for the My Little Pony doll guy.
Ta-da.
He can only get involved so much.
Can't get involved.
He tried to get involved more, but the TVA stopped him.
If I take you out of this life, then obviously you don't become the Black Widow and can't go to Vormir and do save things that I'm not going to tell you about. You save the universe. You save the universe.
Just take my word for it.
Get in the box. Get in the box. Take this. Get in the box.
Okay. Dark. Got dark.
Yeah, it got real dark. I'm sorry.
Let's move on.
I didn't even lead it there.
No, this was the one time on the podcast that got really dark. It was not Ashley's fault.
So proud. Yeah,
it was entirely my fault.
I'm so proud.
All right. Next up, we got a rather long one from Gabby, but it's all good stuff. So let's get into that one. Gabby Watkins says, I absolutely loved this movie. Easily top five for me. It was the perfect combination of dark reality, humor, and action. My favorite part was when Nat let Dracov beat her, telling him, you weren't strong enough to do the job, and then proceeded to break her own nose and kick his disgusting ass. I am a little bit disappointed by how little they utilize Taskmaster. He's a really cool mercenary in the comics, so I hope she is better utilized in the future. Ladies, tell me if you felt similarly, but I felt like this movie perfectly captured what it feels like to be a woman. Right off the bat, the beginning sequence is a series of human trafficking clips. As a college-aged woman, I constantly fear falling into this. They did a great job of capturing how it feels to be mansplained to as well. When Yelena says they're almost out of gas and Alexei says they'll make it, Yelena pushes down her emotions and allows Alexei to be proven wrong, as many of us are taught. I can think of so many different situations in my life where I've kept the correct information to myself because a man believes he's right and it's easier to keep quiet. I couldn't help but laugh at this entire scene. Also, the last scene where Nat faces Dracov made my skin crawl. He gave off really strong rapist vibes when he sprawled himself out all over Nat and tried to make himself as imposing as possible. He was invading her personal space, and I was kind of waiting for him to make an inappropriate advance on Nat. I really wanted her to just stand up and kick his ass. So you can imagine how enraged and terrified I was during this entire scene. He was controlling her, and I thought there was nothing she could do about it. The scene was perfectly set up to display how uncomfortable men can make women. Overall, I think this movie did female empowerment right. It wasn't female superiority, and it wasn't shoved in our faces. It was subtle. Anyways, I couldn't be happier that the Black Widow finally got the movie she deserved, and I'm even happier that the movie was amazing. I cannot wait to see it again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gabby.
I got into that a little bit with the superhero ethics with those kind of points, because I compared him to like what a Harvey Weinstein would be like.
Oh, yeah.
For girls, like for, you know, there's just like nothing you can do. If you do this, you know, he'll end your whole career. Like it's, it was very purposefully done that way.
Yeah.
And they really did nail like that kind of fear. Mm. Even though she physically couldn't, like, because of the pheromones, you know, that's mm-hmm. not everybody. But, like, when you're in a position where you're young and you're, you know, around, you know, powerful men, it's almost the same.
It's like a physical or a more on-the-nose representation of this, like, very subtle thing that happens in the world that you're, mm-hmm. that you're talking about. Like, Marvel's always kind of, you know, been a little bit more on-the-nose and pronounced about the... you know, the subtleties in life, like they kind of have to be in order to shine a light on it.
Right.
So like with it being a pheromone and being like, you know, you can't do anything because I control you. You can't mm-hmm. attack me. But you know, like you said, that happens in life and
it could be your boss.
Yeah. It's just emotional at that point. It's like, I don't want to do this thing because I know that this will happen. Mm-hmm. And you always feel empowered by the stories where like somebody rises up over the, I know that this will happen because of, you know, I know that this will happen, but it has to be done because this guy has to be stopped. You know, like you always feel empowered by those. And I'm glad that Nat got to smash her face and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
That whole scene for me is just reminding me so much of that Loki scene in the first, in the first Avengers movie, and like the way that she handles situations using the power that she has and using the like knowledge that she has to manipulate men the way she can and like using that for good. Like I loved that scene. Because I definitely felt the disgustingness coming off of him, but I also like trusted her that she had it under control, if that makes sense, because it's like, that's what she does. Like I knew when he's hitting her, I was like, oh, she's interrogating him. You know what I mean? Like this is what she does. Like she's such a powerful character that I sort of just trusted in that moment. And I don't think I ever felt that fear for her, but I definitely felt disgusted by the way that he was treating her.
I don't even think it was just feeling a fear for her. It was just really like when he goes to hit her and she just flinches, like I had a physical mm-hmm. reaction to that. It didn't matter if it was yeah. Nat. It didn't matter who it was.
Sure. No, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the lack of, you know, feeling of fear is not really identifying with that situation. Like Matt, you and I are big guys.
No, for sure. Like we don't have situations that calls back to our past. I still felt very, like I said, disgusted for her and like the horror of the situation.
Well, I mean, it's a prequel. Obviously, she's going to get out of it. It's just the way that they portrayed the scene, they filmed it in such a way that it just kept getting closer and closer and closer. The camera kept zooming in closer on the two of them. The room got very small. And then he did start to beat her up. You know, it was, and he's screaming and yelling. It's, you know.
It
reminds you, you know, of times that if you've been in those situations, like character, superhero aside, you know, you're like, this isn't good.
Yeah. And you guys were talking about how this makes it more obvious and on the face of it, instead of the subtleties of like real life and things. And like, that's what sci-fi and fantasy does best. It takes those concepts and condenses it down to this like very like, oh, it's a pheromone, instead of all of the various power dynamics that can exist that can cause this same sort of situation for women.
You know, there's so many times where you think like, just stand up, just do something, just kick his ass, just like punch him in the face, Mm-hmm. And you know, there's that one thing that's holding you back, or that's that one thing that's holding whoever back, because you know, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to I don't want to lose this job. I don't want to lose my career. I don't want to, you know, get shitlisted from literally everything ever and have to move and change names. And, you know, I don't want all of these possible things to have to happen. But like all of that turns into this pheromone where you see her try. She tries and gets held back by her own, like, because that pheromone is in her, and it's her holding herself back. And it's like, it's such a reflection of the internal struggle that people have.
I think it was also a metaphor for speaking up.
Yeah. Yes, 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 100%.
How loud, just, you know, how terrifying it is to try to, like, speak out against, you know, people who are done horrible things. There was a lot of layers to those scenes.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like the action movie behind it is a bit of a disservice to how impactful and powerful that story is, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
But that's I think what bothered me so much my first viewing was that, like, I felt like there's all this intense stuff going on the surface, under the surface, but the movie, it's after that 40-minute mark, the movie becomes very traditional Marvel, like, just beat up the bad guy, stop the floating thing, like,
yeah.
I wanted it to, like, reside a little more with her story.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it would have needed to be R.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, God, can you imagine what they would have done in that opening sequence if it had been R-rated?
I don't want to.
I don't want to because it's uncomfortable and I can't sleep.
Yeah. Thank you, Gabby, for the feedback.
Yes, thank you Gabby, so much.
I'm really glad to hear another perspective of someone else who just really loved what they did with the story. And I'm so glad it's resonating with so many people.
Mm-hmm. A lot of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember when Captain Marvel came out, a lot of women were writing in saying, like, yes, got the girl power movie. And then, like, here's this one that's so much darker and is still, you know, a women empowerment kind of...
it's more of a relatable, you know, character.
General idea. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because, you know... Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, is just like, from the moment that you meet her, she is just insanely powerful. Not everybody feels that way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to stop lecturing the audience on the, you know, on all of this. Sorry, guys. I got fervent for a minute. let's see. Kajama sent us an email. Okay, so first I want to mention that I have no comics knowledge. All of my comics knowledge is from people like you that tell me things about the comics. It's a good start. I'm pretty sure that Taskmaster was evil all throughout the comics, but I don't know for sure. So I have a few ideas of what could happen to her. I'm going to put them in order of my favorite to my least favorite. One, she could come back as one of the most powerful Avengers we've seen yet in the MCU. Two, she could come back as one of the most powerful villains we've seen yet in the MCU. Three, she could die while she's in a hospital or something because she does not look too good. I can't really see this one happening because it seems like she's basically all robot and the only thing left of her biological body is her head, allowing her to think and feel. Again, no comics knowledge, but, you know, so one of these might be true in the comics. If so, that means I have a higher chance of being right. Kajama the first. I like it.
I'm really interested to see what they'll do with her character going forward.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad she didn't get killed, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same.
She stayed with the Yelena. Maybe she brought her into, like, the Val team.
The true. Val team?
Isn't Taskmaster on some of the teams, some of those evil Dark Avengers so. Or Thunderbolts or whatever?
Thunderbolts, right?
Sometimes, more often what happens in comics is that Taskmaster has like a mercenary school that gets hired by like the Masters of Evil or, you know, ex-bad organization or whatever. Right. So like... Taskmaster will be like, this is how Captain America fights, and, you know, train you to fight against Captain America as a mercenary. They're still just like, you know, they're still just regular mercenary guys, fodder, so to speak.
Right.
So they, you know, they get shat on. They're like, oh, he was right. Ow, it hurt.
I think Kajama said that she'll probably be one of the most powerful. I don't know if I see it that way. Like, she's definitely powerful and strong, but like, Nat could go toe-to-toe with her.
Right.
And Nat is awesome, but from a physically imposing perspective, like, if Thor and Nat went at, you know, like,
yeah.
Like,
Thor walks up to Taskmaster's like,
yeah, you got Thor, Loki, and showing how powerful he is now, and, like, Captain Marvel, of course, and Wanda, like,
Oh, Captain Marvel.
One of the most powerful Avengers or villains. I don't see that from her right now.
Right.
But I think that she will be part of a very interesting story going forward, especially like it seems like if she's making this training school, she's got a bunch of students already, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. If they go off and do this thing.
Widow Academy.
Yeah. Some sort of Widow Academy that's like them making their own choices, though. That could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Could they be the Hand? No, that's a terrible
no.
idea. Stop it.
It's a bad idea. Yeah.
Stop it.
The Black Sky?
Black Sky. No. No. Don't like it. Nicole T sent us an email. Hey, MCU cast fam. I loved Black Widow. Part of that was a sense of relief that it was so good after such a long wait. I loved all the new characters and I can't wait to see what happens with Yelena, but also, like you all said, I really want her to be good. Which brings me to, I totally agree that Melina and Alexi are not redeemed yet, but I'm really hoping that we get a redemption story for them because I desperately would love to have a tired, middle-aged mom as a superhero. The world weariness, the different problem-solving approach. I feel like that's something that hasn't really been out there yet. And as a middle-aged mom myself, it would be so awesome to see that on screen. Plus, no one would complain about more Rachel Weisz.
Mm-mm. Right?
Nope. Keep doing the good work, folks. You are all the best.
Hey, yeah. Thank you, Nicole.
You know what, Nicole? You got it. You got it on the nose there. If we get more Alexi, honestly, I don't even need him to be redeemed. I just need him to come back over and over again. Like, give me more Alexi.
Yeah, I really don't mind if they stay sort of like in the grays to evil area. I do want more of their story, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yesterday. Okay, so yesterday was my wife's birthday, right? So I took her to brunch and she was like, I have been feeling better lately. She's getting over a cold, like, you know, just like a 24-hour cold, basically. But she's still got some snottiness going on, you know,
how it kind of takes a little bit to
filter out. Right. Anyway, she was like, I'm feeling a lot better. I have a lot more energy. And I just started laughing my ass off. And she looked at me like, what the hell are you laughing about? And I was like, I just got out of prison. I have so much energy. And of course, I'm the only one that laughed at it because she was looking at me like I was a fucking idiot.
No, not you.
Not me. Thanks for that, Ashley. You totally made me feel better.
You should.
Let's hit like two more.
Okay.
And call it a podcast.
It's a podcast. Sorry. Sion Aidi sent us an email. Hey, Jeff, Matt, and Ashley. I finally got to watch Black Widow and listen to your podcast, and I thoroughly enjoyed both.
Yay.
The movie had lots of sweet, sad, and amazing moments. I think Yelena is one of my favorite characters now. She is so funny. I also found it to be so sweet when Natasha and Yelena were drinking that Yelena said she wanted to get a dog, and then in the post-credit scene, she actually got a dog.
No.
Also, I'm really interested to see what it would have been like if we had gotten Black Widow before Tafatwas, because we could have seen Val in a very different way.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last thing, one problem I have with Black Widow is we're just told Dracov survived without any explanation on how. I think it would have been cool if we saw another flashback of him escaping with his daughter. It could have built more, you know, on that story.
Hmm.
True.
You guys are one of the best podcasts out there. You've built such a community that feels so safe for me to be myself and express my Marvel geekiness. I can't wait for the future of Marvel and the podcast. Sion.
Thank you,
Sam.
Yeah,
I agree with a lot of that.
I am so happy that people feel comfortable in expressing their geekiness.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I'm doing it, and, you know, if I can display all of my geekiness, like, come on, guys, you can do it, too. Like, let's get out there.
There's a lot of geekiness there.
Yeah, I got all of it.
Like, yeah, for sure.
All bundled up right here.
The thing that fascinates me about this feedback is the idea of seeing Val for the first time here.
Yeah. You know? We wouldn't have known who she was. We would have been like, who is this person?
Well, that's the thing. I wonder how much they rewrote that scene or how many versions of that scene they filmed, because like she introduced herself so well in Tafatwas when she comes up and is like, I'm Valerie, like Consuela, whatever.
Consuela.
Contessa.
Contessa.
My abuela Consuela.
You can call me abuelita. Oh, God.
What's the whole thing? Do y'all know it?
Contessa, yeah. Valentina Allegra de Fantina.
All right.
De Fantine.
I'm sorry, De Fantine.
I was close.
Call her Val. Don't call her that. Keep that in your head.
Yeah.
That's such a great introduction for her. Like, I can't imagine that wasn't, like, part of the original, like, scene that introduces her. You know what I mean? Like, or we would have just been completely, would have been totally mysterious at this moment who she was. We would have been waiting months to find out, like, who is this woman?
Do you know how much speculation
people would have
the three
nuts.
Of us, we would have done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had, like, that purple streak, though. I feel like it would have been hard for us to put that together.
Victoria Hand.
We probably would have definitely talked about Victoria Hand. Like, does this mean S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't canon? Da 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 da. Like
the first thing that I would have theorized about is that's Victoria Hand, and she is the liaison for the Dark Avengers, run by Hammer Industries.
Yeah.
Or, like, right. Run by cool. The organization Hammer, not S.H.I.E.L.D., but Hammer. And Norman Osborn is who she's working for, obviously. I still think that could be it, but
yeah,
it's beside the point.
Like, I really hope we get a multiverse where they can start having all of the Spider-Man characters in the MCU proper. Like, yes. I really want the multiverse to open that possibility up, which to me means we find out that the multiverse that Sony is telling, the story that Sony is telling, and it's is all in a different universe. Like, that's what I want to find out. And that the Tom Holland is our Spider-Man for the MCU. And we get, like, you know, we can get Venom movies that are, like, actually built in the MCU, built yeah. properly.
Hashtag not my Spider-Verse. I get it.
Yeah. I really want that. Want that.
I just want that hashtag. So I, in response to Sion, I also felt that Yelena was an incredible addition to the Marvel verse. I love her jacket, or rather her vest. It's got so many pockets. It's so cool. You can carry so many things, like, you don't even know. I'm still aware of cargo shorts. Like, I know that they've gone out of fashion or whatever, but, like, you can carry so many things. Come on.
Well, it's also, I think it's also everything making fun of women's superhero costumes in the past. None of them had high heels. Everybody had something that was, you know, working for them. Like, you know, the pockets thing would be something that you would have if you're on the run.
Yep.
Not, you know, the sexy, tight, weird, you know, things with the heels.
Yeah. If you were an international assassin, you would probably need tools like all the time, and you would need to have them on your person.
Yep. It also just establishes her as a slightly different character. Like, I agree with you completely, and I think they're moving that way with more of the heroes being less, like, wearing heels all the time. And they make fun of the hair flip, but that's, like, that's an iconic thing that, like, Black Widow poses sexy while she's doing her flips and kicking people. Yelena is setting herself up to be a different character than Nat was, and part of that is she's just a very practical person.
Yeah.
And I love that. Even if that's just representation for that, her being different than Natasha.
Thought it was a whole big joke about how they sexualized her character in the other movies.
Yeah, just a big meta commentary.
That's great meta commentary, except, and we didn't talk about it on the main cast, but I'm going to talk about it now. Half of that movie, the Black Widow movie, is shot from behind Black Widow's ass.
So, like, I saw people talking about that. It's like one.
It is not like one thing.
It's not like a ton of it, though. And it's a female director. Well, then we can't have Chris Evans with his shirt off anymore. We can't have that.
Wait. We cannot. Do not have this discussion. You cannot take away Chris Evans shirtless from the world. How dare you?
My point is, I didn't think it was overly sexualized. Like, even those shots. I know that she had, like, a lot to say in final cuts, and she worked really hard with the directors. And we can't take it completely away. Like, we can't take all her sexiness away, because that's also not empowering. I just didn't think it was as much as everybody was saying it was.
I'm not saying we had to. I did think it was a lot. And maybe that is our different perspectives. And everybody, because every time that was on the screen, I was like, well, there it is again. I noticed it.
I wasn't complaining. I was just like, oh, well, thank you for this glorious gift here.
And, yeah, I'm not complaining either.
They do it so many times in Winter Soldier. They do it all the time. But I didn't think it was too much. She wasn't like, she wasn't getting a shower in any of the scenes. You know, she didn't wake up in just like her bra and panties. She was always fully clothed. They have some scenes that are like shooting what, you know, she works hard to do.
Yeah.
Which is keep that ass. It's not easy. And it, I don't know. I just see it as like, if you can't, if you take that away, then we have to take away other stuff. And like, you know, we have, I thought it was a good medium.
We're not taking anything away.
Not saying have to take it away. I'm saying it's rich. If you say that's a joke about the meta commentary, I think this movie was almost just as much as the other
just
movies
as
focused
much
on
as
her ass. Okay. I'm not saying they have to take it away. I'm just saying, like, I don't buy the meta commentary as a joke because of that.
Okay.
That it still seemed to do it a lot.
I think maybe they were just embracing it.
Yeah, it's fine. And like you said, from a female director, it is a little different.
Last one. Gabby Shefka sent us an email. Says, hey guys, love the podcast. As someone whose favorite Avengers are the humans, Nat, Clint, Rhodey, Sam, etc., I absolutely loved Black Widow. So good to see her finally get her own film. And honestly, it was refreshing to step away from the space and time elements that are taking over and just have a super awesome human spy movie. In preparation for it, I watched all of Nat's movies, starting with Iron Man 2. Fun little theory I had. Could the villain in that movie be Nat's father? His name is Ivan, and Red Skull told Nat her father's name is Ivan. It's a small detail, possibly just a coincidence that probably won't be addressed, but it's cool to consider. Anyway, keep up the awesome work. I love tuning in. Gabby.
I do think it's possible we'll find out who her father is one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know that that was her father, Vanko, but they do talk about her mother being murdered, but they never say what happened to her father, which leads me to believe that he might still be alive somewhere in the verse.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be Ivan Vanko.
It'd be super messed up. Like, the way she looked, like, upset when she was like, ugh, maybe going through her head, like, was that guy my dad?
I kicked that guy's ass. Was he my dad?
Killed his ass. I dropped two buildings on his face.
This is for dropping a building on my face. I love that line. Yeah, it. I don't know that the timeline really lines up for that, though, because she was born in 84. And
I have no idea how old Ivan Vanko was.
Yeah, I don't know, but like,
could be her father for sure.
Maybe. I mean, is Tony old enough to be her father?
I would think so.
That guy looked a lot older than Tony.
Yeah. But, you know,
he lived
Russian,
a hard life.
Russian life is hard on you.
Not when you're as rich as him.
He was 18. You lose, Stark. You lose. Spitting out blood. Anyway.
Man. Okay, well, let's say, is there anything in the live chat we want to throw out before we...
Not really. Me and up. JD... Maya, we're just kind of talking about hair.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of talking about hair.
You guys been podcasting? We've been off talking about hair. I don't even know what y'all are saying over here.
Yeah, right? Like, are we still talking about Black Widow? God.
Yeah, they're finally doing realistic female hair. You know, all the girls' hairs are always flying around in this, and these ones, their hairs were up. It's kind of like in Birds of Prey, when she throws her a ponytail holder.
Oh, right. Yeah, I love that.
And like Sylvie even has her hair up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're starting to move towards a lot more realistic looks for women, you know, no heels, hair up.
Hair ties. Yep. I remember when Sylvie put her hair up in the train, I was like, oh, okay. Practical. Yeah. I like it.
Dun-Dun's asking if we talked about Yelena being snapped. I know we did a little bit on the last cast.
Did we?
But is that confirmed? Cause I remember we were like, if that's what happened, but we don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
it would make more sense that she got snapped. So, you know, cause she wouldn't have been there to,
help,
you know, to help at all. And
exactly.
And Nat
or been there
in
game with her sister. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
No, it makes more sense for why Nat like gave up her life. Maybe her whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could be.
I wonder if Melina or Red Guardian got snapped. Like if the whole family got snapped away.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they did in like, even if just from like an actor perspective, they haven't aged, you know, they come back and they're like, we're right back where we were 5 years ago.
I just got back from the soul realm. I have so much energy.
Gross. All right.
Don't do that.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the MCU cast. I'm going to drop another song at the end of this podcast. This song is another track from the Black Widow album. And it is forthcoming. If you like it, please go subscribe to the Matthew Carroll podcast and follow along. I'll be doing that. I'm going to be making the album in front of your ears on the Matthew Carroll podcast over the next few months. So check that out. This song is about it's from the perspective of Nat in Civil War when she has left Steve to work with Tony after their close friendship. And Winter Soldier, and this is her kind of deciding to turn back and be friends with Steve.
Oh, my friend Steve.
That's the one. That's
I like
one.
It.
This is one of my favorites. I've been playing it at a trivia night and stuff. So
come to trivia night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/Stranapanda TV Wednesday nights, 7 Central.
Oh shoot! We need to mention that actually.
Yeah.
We didn't mention it on the last episode. We should have. Yep. Maybe I'll plug this in on the end of the last episode. We are doing trivia this week and next week is Loki trivia.
Loki specific.
Loki specific. It's Loki episodes 1 through 3 this week and 4 through 6 next week.
Yep.
And we are giving away a really cool set of Loki horns.
A 3D printed Loki crown.
Cosplay crowns.
So on top of all the normal prizes we give away, and you can win a Nintendo Switch and a Oculus Quest. You can also win this cool Loki crown. Loki
is it that they
crown.
Have to be there both weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to show up for weeks. Both weeks.
So I'm going to throw a little, we'll do an intro for the other podcast. Come out to trivia this week. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Loki specific. And I always love the ones, the trivia weeks where we do the shows that just aired because I know the answers to the questions.
Yeah.
Makes me feel all smart.
It does. It makes me feel good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Oh, my friend Steve. I'm sorry that I decided to leave your side. Cause you trusted me when you had no reason to believe in me. So I'll try to be the friend to you that you've been to me. Cause I've always walked a little darker side of the road across from you. And I'll still be me with my pretty shaky morality, but you'll see, you'll see. I'll try to be the friend to you that you've been to me. I've always known you can't trust me. I find it easy to see. Face with you, and you speak the truth. try to be the friend to you that you've been to me. Oh, I'll try to be the friend to you that you've been to me. Oh, I'll try to be the friend to you that you've been to me.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.